Thank you, Father, for your presence here. Manifest presence. As we behold you, we know we're becoming like you. This is our goal. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you are faithful to us. You are righteous, that you cannot lie. You're a God we can depend upon. Lord Jesus, we give you praise. You hear every prayer, you intercede for us. Your timing is perfect. Your plans for us. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. So glorious are they. We want to declare to you today, Lord, we love you. And we seek nothing but connection with you. Abiding in you. Because you are the treasure in the field. You are the pearl of great price. And we declare our love for you today. Thank you, Father, you meet all our needs. You meet them at the perfect time. Thank you, Father God, while we wait, you're changing us, transforming us, producing a wonderful work, masterpiece. We bless you. We're not the same as we were last year. We're not the same as we were last week, because your hand is heavily upon us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We should have just stayed there and not moved. But I know God wants me to bring this word because it's a word about what is happening here today in the Spirit. And if you've got a Bible, I want you to open to Hebrews chapter 2. And I want to read from verse 5. Give you a second to get there. It's towards the end of the Bible. Just after the pastoral epistles and just before James. So you get there. Verse 5, for he has not put the world to come, of which we speak in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, to bring many, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I'll put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. As much as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of that death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I'll stop there. Now, this is written to people. Many people believe that the Apostle Paul wrote this book, although it's different in character to his other letters. Maybe it's because he wrote differently to Gentiles than he did to Jews, different audiences. I don't know. Or maybe, like some people say, this was written by Barnabas, who knew Paul and traveled with him, Paul. So it's got the flavor of Paul, but it's not Paul. Either way, it's written by an apostle, and it's written to the Hebrews, the Jewish Christians who were suffering, and they were having a very, very difficult time. They were being kicked out of synagogues. They were being removed from their homes. They were losing their possessions. And if you think you're suffering today, it's nothing compared to what Christians in previous generations have suffered, or indeed Christians around the world today suffer. But this is written to people who are having a hard time. And the whole purpose of the book of Hebrews is to say, keep going. There is a glorious prize ahead. Don't stop now. Don't look back. Keep looking forward. Keep looking upwards to Christ and the crown of righteousness that he has for us at the end. And it says, don't go back. You've got to stay strong. You have to endure to the end. That's the purpose of the letter, and that's what God wants to say to us today. We need to be a people who endure hardship. And the idea, this American gospel, that you come to Jesus and it's going to be all sugar and cookies, you know, blessing, ease, and comfort, is a false gospel. There is suffering in the Christian life. There will be hard times. All in Christ Jesus will suffer. And Paul writes this to the Hebrews who are going through a difficult time. They're losing a lot. And he's saying, hang on and keep going. It's going to be worth it. And he says, one of the things that he says, this is what you need when you're in the time of suffering. And I'm going to preach this message this morning because I want to preach messages that they may not be the easiest concept in the world. I could preach today, let me say, a how-to message, how to be content. Okay, how to be content. Be thankful every day. Don't covet. And we could preach those messages. Nothing wrong with those messages. That's a milky message, but sometimes we need meat. And I believe today God wants to give us meat. And he says to these Hebrews something quite meaty. He says to them, you're having a hard time. We're all in the same circumstances, but there's a few of us who count it all glory to suffer. We are not struggling like you're struggling, even though we're going through the same circumstances. And the writer was like that. They're all going through the hard time, but some were even falling away. But the writer and his crowd were doing well. And he says, the reason we are doing well. Verse 9, but we see Jesus. I want to speak to you today about seeing Jesus. The importance of seeing Jesus. Now, you don't see him physically today, but by faith we see Jesus, and we need to see Jesus. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We see him by faith because faith is the eye of the soul. If you can't exercise faith in the word, in the promises, you can't see. You're blind. You can't see Jesus. You can't see the promises of God. But faith is the action of looking unto Jesus for everything and continuing to look for him, for our needs, for our provision, for our protection. And if we exercise faith and look unto him by faith in the Spirit, we will see Jesus. And it's so vital because there's so many people in the scripture. It's not just, we know Paul was knocked off his horse and physically saw Jesus, but we can see people like Stephen, who when you're in the middle of a trial, Stephen was in the middle of a trial and he was being stoned. And at the end of his life, he was able to be just like Jesus and say, these people who are stoning me, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. The exact words of Jesus. But the only reason he was able to do that was just before the end of Acts chapter 7, when you see his great sermon that he's preaching to those who are stoning him, he says, the heavens open, and he says, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of heaven. And when he saw Jesus, he was able to forgive like Jesus. And so we need, and God wants us, to see Jesus. And it's important in this hour because I believe we're going to enter an hour where many believers, they're already falling away, but many more will fall away. But the Word of God says this is how Moses succeeded. He says he forsook Egypt. That's the world. We need to forsake the world. How did he do that? Not fearing the wrath of the king or the government, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, when I say seeing Jesus, I want to just correct some people here. Because some people will say, you know, if you've got healing or you've got trauma in your life, you can go to somebody and God is going to take you back into your past and Jesus is going to turn up. That's New Age nonsense. And you should reject that. And you should not teach that. Because it is not the Holy Spirit. It's another spirit and it's another Jesus. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's in heaven and he doesn't want to get into your past. Your past is under the blood. It is healed. Your past is the past. And the way you get victory is by faith in the cross. Not by seeing Jesus back there in the trauma. So we've got to correct that. But we also got to want to see Jesus. And when we see Jesus, what it says, when you see him in the spirit, what do you see? You see him, look, over the work of your hands. You have put all things under his. You see him sovereign over everything. That's what you need to see when you have a challenge. You see him sovereign over everything. You see that God's put everything under his feet, verse 8. Everything's under him. And then it goes on to say that he has destroyed even death and that he has power over death and even the devil. And he's able to release those who have fear of death because he has conquered death. Verse 9, he says that he has conquered death and tasted death for everyone. So we see him. He's won the victory over death. Everything has been put under him. He is sovereign. He is reign. He is almighty. We need to see him as the Apostle John saw him, in his glory and his power, not as just the Lamb of God, but the Lion of Judah. And we need to see him as the Bible says, it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons to glory. You need to see him as the one that everything was made for, everything was made through Jesus. Says that in creation. And we need to see him as he is. And we need to see him as our brother. Some people think, I don't know how they think this, but I think Jesus is our father. No, he came to reveal the Father, but he is our brother. He is our brother and he is our friend. He is not ashamed to call them brethren. I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. And he's our brother who has suffered all things that we suffer. Therefore, he's able to help us in our sufferings. So we need to see Jesus as he really is. And when we see him, it says in the last verse, in verse 18, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Why? Because he was tempted in all ways, but did not sin. So this is what we want in your life. You know, your game, your aim as you walk through this Christian life is to not just live by the principles, but live with the Prince. Some people, they just live with all the principles of the Word of God, but they're not after the Prince. The Prince is alive. He is knowable. And we need to see him. You know, when we think about this, why does the Bible tell us over and over again to seek his face if we can't see his face? But what happens when we seek his face and we're hungry and we know he's alive and we can see him in the spirit when we exercise faith? When we go into the secret place and we go and seek him, God pours out the Holy Spirit upon us. And in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is the revelation of the face of Jesus. We see him. I know not everybody is maybe able to comprehend this today, but it's very important. If you're going to be used by God, you need to be able to see him. Everybody who was used by God in the Old Testament, you see Joshua, before he goes into the battle of Jericho. Who turns up? Jesus is the angel of the Lord. Gideon, before he becomes the mighty man of valor that's been prophesied over his life, he has a face-to-face encounter with Jesus and he says, I've seen Jesus, I'm going to die. And he says, no, it's okay. When we see Jesus, You know, in Genesis chapter 32, we know about this time where Jacob was a deceiver. And there's nothing he could do to change his nature. Because not by might, not by spirit. He couldn't change his nature. He kept deceiving and he kept tricking people. Did it to his brother. Then he moved over to, deceived his brother. Then he moved over to his uncle's house. What was his uncle's name? Give it to me again. Laban, yeah. And when he gets over there, he thinks he's going to turn over a new leaf. But he starts deceiving his uncle over there and he has to run away. And then he's got to face, he comes back and he's kind of between a rock and a hard place because he's run away from Laban and he's here and Laban's there coming for him and his brother is coming for him this way, Esau. And so he wrestles with God all night. And that night, in his wrestling and he's praying and he's seeking God, Bible says Jacob was changed. He was changed from Jacob. And he's so changed, God gave him a new name to Israel. But when did that happen? It says that he wrestled with God and saw the angel face to face. Face to face. And, you know, there's times in our life, and like the Hebrews here, this passage deals with suffering. And it deals with whether you're a faithful Christian or you're a new Christian, there are going to be times where you are really suffering and you're going through a hard time, a difficult time. And as I said, the writer is writing to the Hebrews saying, in that time you need to see Jesus. We see Jesus, that's the difference. And you need to see Jesus. And David has the same experience. In Psalm 143, if you can turn there, David is having a really hard time. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. And in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Answer me speedy, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down in the pit. Cause me to hear the loving kindness, your loving kindness in the mornings. For in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk. For I lift up my soul to you. I'll stop there. So here's a time where, it's written that this is a time where David is actually fleeing from his son Absalom. His son Absalom has turned against him and he's in incredible pain. You imagine if your child has not only turned against you but wants to kill you. And his son Absalom has driven him out of Jerusalem. He's taken his kingdom off him by deception and flattery and guile. And David didn't even fight for it. He just let him have it, which is a sermon all in itself. And he just lets him have it. And David's in a whole lot of pain because his own child, Absalom, has turned against him. And he's even laying with his concubines. He's laying with his wives. And David looks like has lost everything. And then he says in verse 3, the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. And that's not just speaking about Absalom. It's speaking about, in the midst of all that, David's experiencing a spiritual attack. Because often when things go against you, the enemy takes advantage and he then afflicts your soul. And he attacks you in such a way that you lose all your peace and you lose all the joy that you've had and all the strength that you had. And David's experiencing the betrayal of Absalom. And this attack on his soul, he's persecuted my soul. We know that's Satan because man doesn't do that. It's only spiritual powers that attack our soul. And he says, I'm crushed to the ground and I'm in darkness. You know, I've lost contact with the light. And it's so bad, he uses the term in verse 4. He says, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. I'm so distressed. My heart within me is distressed. And he goes, I can't stay in this place because he speaks about going down into the pit. Where is it? In verse 7, he says, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. And he's basically saying, I've seen people who get in this condition, who get attacked, and then the enemy takes it. And if we stay in that place, he says, I've seen them go right down, not come back up. And he's saying, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like those people. And if we're really real, sometimes we get like David. We get in places where the attack just seems so strong. It seems so relentless. It goes on and on and on and on and on. And we think, if I'm not sure I can survive this one, God. This has been going on for so long. I've had so little breakthrough. And I fear going down into a place where I'm not going to come back from. And David's in that place. And in the midst of that, this is what we've got to see. He says, answer me speedily, O God. Hear my prayer, verse 1, first of all, he says. And then verse 7, he says, not only hear my prayer, but answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit is failing. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me. What he's basically saying is, in the midst of everything that's going on, I don't need to see different circumstances. I don't need to see a person. I don't need to even see advice. In the midst of everything going on, he says, don't hide your face from me. Because he says, what I need at this moment, what I need most is to see your face. What you need most when you're in one of those conditions, what you need, the only thing that's really going to get you out of that pit, and it will get you out of that pit instantly, is if you see Jesus. If you see Jesus. See, you can be in the worst condition of your life. But I want to tell you, when you're in that hard place and you see Jesus, your circumstances may not even change, but you change. You change. Why? When you see Jesus, what does David say? It's interesting because he says, I need to see Jesus, and don't hide your face from me. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk. When you see Jesus, you know in your spirit that he loves you. You know, no matter what happens, he who is in charge of all, who has conquered all, is for you. And his loving kindness is going to affect you. You also know he is your shepherd who is going to show you the way in which you should walk. In other words, when you see Jesus, you know he's going to show you the way out. Maybe not now, but he is, because he's your shepherd. And David says what he needs to do in this time. Says, for in you do I trust. Now, that's really important. If we need to see Jesus, if I'm saying what we need in a hard time is to see Jesus in the Spirit, David says, the only way I'm going to do that is through trust. Why? Because I said before, faith is another name for trust. Trust and faith is the eyes of the soul. Your soul has eyes. That's why in Ephesians chapter 1, we read the words. And Paul's praying for the Ephesians, and he's praying these words. And he says, I pray that God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I'm not speaking about physical eyes. Speaking about the eyes of your understanding. When we start to trust and we exercise faith that God is with me in this trial, that God is with me and his promises are true, that he is a righteous God, that he is faithful to me. When I believe that and I trust him, my eyes of faith can actually start to see. I can actually see. In the spirit, I can see for him. And I think faith is like sight, because like sight, you know, you can just sight, you just look up and you can see instantly. You can see, you know, whatever you want to see, just instantly. We talk about the speed of sight. And as soon as we exercise faith, we can start to see the promises of God. Instantly. We don't have to wait forever. We can see. You know, just so quickly, you know, you can see what he's done at Calvary by faith. We can see he's going to turn everything for my good. We can see. From Calvary to the upper room, we can see everything. And faith is also like sight in that it's not only the speed of which we see, it's the scale of which we see. You know, you can open your eyes. And I was up high the other day at Summersby, and I could see all the way out to the entrance, and I could see the land, and I could see the ocean. I could see so much. And like faith, if we exercise faith, we see so much. We can see all that Christ has done at Coventry, at Calvary. We can see, like I said, I saw so far, and so the eyes and the with my eyes, I could see the oceans and the land. When I exercise faith, I can see what Christ has done for me. I can see the promises he has in the future for me. I can see that he is so great and mighty that nothing can overcome me. I can see great things by faith, that all the worlds that he says they're all mine and will reign and rule with him forever, that this earth is only for a short time, but I'm already eternal, and that's what really counts. I can see that. And you know, one Corinthians chapter 2. It says this: it has been written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So he's basically saying there are things that eyes can't even see. There are things that you can't even imagine, things that you can't even conceive. Reveals them to our spirit. And we can see through the eyes of faith the ministries we have, the plans God has for us. We can see that he is faithful. We can actually not just know it in our head, but we actually can see great, large, enormous blessings that Christ has produced for us at the cross. And some of us need to see that. We need to see more than just forgiveness of sins. We need to be able to see what Christ has performed and the plans he has for us, because when we see in the Spirit, we have vision, and without vision, we perish. And that's why if you can't see Jesus, the Hebrews, because they couldn't see Jesus, they didn't have the connection in the Spirit with his majesty and in his glory and his mercy and his compassion and his love. It's all just head knowledge. But they couldn't see it in the Spirit, and they were falling away. But the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying we're okay, because we actually see in the Spirit that he is with us. Like the Apostle Paul, he says, everybody at my trial abandoned me. They all betrayed me. Everyone ran away. But I was okay because Jesus stood with me. That's not a theory, but he could see Jesus with him. Do you know what? Do you experientially know Jesus with you in the Spirit? Do you feel and know his company? That's what it means that he is with me. If you don't, you need to listen how to see Jesus. And the way we see him, firstly, Psalm 27, David writes this. David writes this and he says, verse 8, when you said, he's speaking to God, when you said, God, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. So you need to be someone who actually seeks face-to-face encounters with God. In your closet, not just to know about him, you need to actually seek him. Say, I'm here. I'm here to have a meeting with you. I'm getting up a little bit early every morning because I want to see in the Spirit your kindness. I want to see your goodness. I want to see your long-suffering. I want to see your power. I want to see your omniscience. I want to see something new about Jesus every day. In the Spirit. And you've got to pray, open my spiritual eyes. And you know what will open those eyes? Your spiritual eyes? Faith. Only one thing. Faith. Believing that God is going to be good to you. That God is, when he says, seek my face, he's going to reveal his face to you. It says, seek my face. You see Jesus also through his word. And we keep saying this, it's over and over and over and again, the importance of reading the word of God. Because when you read the word of God, you may be reading about Adam. You're reading about Jesus, the second Adam. So you're reading a little bit about Jesus. When you read about Joseph, you're reading about an aspect of Joseph, the wisdom of Jesus. When you read about Joshua, you're reading about the overcoming faith of Jesus. Every person you read, when you're reading about David, you're reading about the heart of Jesus. Every person you're reading about in the scripture is a little part of Jesus, which oceans can't exhaust the wonder of him, but every person in the scripture, Solomon, his wisdom, there is aspects of Jesus. And when you're in this book, and when you're constantly in this book, Jesus will reveal himself to you. He'll continually give you ongoing revelation, and you will see more and more of Jesus through this book. You also need to be someone, you know, we are told, and we need to know what this means, is a whole other sermon, but you need to be determined to know what it is to walk in the Spirit, because we're told we walk in the Spirit, we don't walk in the flesh. So that means I'm trying every day not to just be, my flesh is just my natural instincts, my natural senses, you know, sight, what I see, what I smell, what I taste. I can be led like that, like everyone else in the world. Or I can seek to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person who's come to dwell in me. He's with me. And I can seek to be in the Spirit. I can seek to be in the Spirit every morning when I go and worship, not in the flesh. Because it says that in John chapter 1, he also saw Jesus. But it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You got a choice when you come to church to be in the flesh or in the Spirit. That's why we have worship. I was in the Spirit and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet saying X, Y, Z. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. Having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands in the midst of it. Seven lampstands, one like the Son of a Man. And he goes on and on. His feet were like brass. His voice sounded like many waters. But he saw Jesus when he was in the Spirit. We must really desire to cultivate. Holy Spirit's not a force, he's a person. And he's come to live in us, but he's also come to reside with us and come upon us in power when we need the power. And as we walk in the Spirit, it's only through the Spirit we constantly are able to see Jesus and all his goodness. John 14 says this. He says, and this is the importance, you can never underestimate just the importance of loving obedience. You know, all we want to do is love Jesus back. We love him because he first loved us, but we love him by just seeking to obey him the best we can. And we do that out of revelation of how he's loved us and given everything for us. But he says this, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." In other words, when you want to see him, he will reveal himself to you. And see, we can't see Jesus unless Jesus reveals himself or shows himself to us. And he shows himself only to the ones who say, "I'm not just here just to get off you. I love you and I really want to demonstrate that I love you and I love you back by my obedience to you." And if you are not in that place, he's not going to show up for you. He's not going to manifest to you. But he will reveal himself to those who love him, who love him and want to serve him with their obedience. He'll allow you to see him. See his face. And you know, there are a lot of Christians that are trying to they're well-intentioned and good people, and they're trying to live the Word of God and do all the things in the book and be a good person, all the kind of noble, virtuous things, and follow their conscience, all that thing, but they are just living it, trying to obey it through their human strength, through the strength that they have. And the Hebrews started off like that, but then they hit some bumpy air, some turbulence, where that wasn't really cutting it. The trials and the pressures got so bad and they got so hard that just trying to, tough it out, or, in your own strength, endure and get through things, it wasn't working. Many were falling away. And I believe we're entering a season in history where that will happen again. And we need to be a people who know the joy of the Lord, because that's our strength. But we need to be a people who are beyond just using our own determination. We need to have a secret weapon that the writer of the Hebrews have. We need to have the ability to see Jesus. We must know him and know how to see his face. And when we're in a hard time, to go into the secret closet and say, "God, this is so hard. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go," like David. "But I know you are righteous. I know you are faithful. I believe and I trust that you're going to get me through this." And I want to tell you, when you actually exercise that trust and that faith that he will get you through it, he comes. Pours the Holy Spirit out upon you and you see Jesus. You see him. And like I said before, what we want a people, when we know the face of Jesus, what it is to encounter the face of Jesus, you know what happens to you when you've actually had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus in the prayer closet? I'll read it to you, because some of us just think this is a way to close the service. But it says this. God said to Aaron, I want you to bless these people. Speak to Aaron, these sons. This is the way you will bless the children. How? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. That's really the only true blessing. There only is one true blessing. That is really to have God smile upon your life. Everything else is just sugar. But he says, when God's face, make his face shine upon you, God's grace, be gracious to you, his grace flows when that happens. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's the one certain, enduring, unchanging fruit of seeing Jesus. You know, he is the Prince of Peace, And what we need when we're in a hard time is not necessarily the circumstances to change, but we need His peace. And when He shines His face upon us, He lifts His countenance upon us and He gives you peace. Do you know what it is to see Jesus? I really, today, I've got it in my spirit. I was going to preach another message, and this morning, my wife's not here. She comes back today, but I just have more time. So I got up this morning, and this was burning in me. I've been with Jesus for 2 weeks. You know, you take advantage when your wife goes away. You can be with Jesus more. And I've had a wow of a time. Wow of a time. I have been so connected to Him, like the vine and the branch, in such a beautiful way. And His face has been revealed to me every morning. And I desperately want to give this to you. I want to give you not just knowledge about Him. We need to be able to see Him. We need to have a place where we go. We don't just go there hoping. We go there believing. We go there believing. As David says, begins the Psalm in Psalm 143. You are faithful. You know, you are righteous. You're going to do what's right by me. Your faithfulness answer me. And in your righteousness, don't let me enter into judgment. Goes on to speak about the qualities of God. I spread my hands out to you in this trouble. And what I need is to see your face. I need to see that face that gives me peace. I need that to see that face that reminds me who's really in my corner. And you know, when He reveals His face, I said the fruit of that, the outcome of that always is peace. And what we need, if you're someone who goes, I know what you're talking about, Pastor. I know what it is to see Jesus. I know what it is to walk with Him, knowing His smile upon me and His face shining upon me. You know what we need to be like from here? From that place when you've actually have experienced the face of Jesus. I saw something on, I think it was a National Geographic channel. And it was just a show on agriculture. And anyway, part of the show, it showed sunflowers. And you know, a sunflower comes up. And it's yellow and bright and beautiful all the time. And it's the key to it is that wherever the sun is, the sunflower turns. All day long, the sunflower is just looking for the face of the sun. It's moving just to position itself where the sun is. That's S-U-N. But we have got to be a people who, David said, Lord, you said, seek my face. We should be seeking the S-O-N, that all day, wherever He is, that's where I want to be. Wherever you're speaking, that's what I want to listen to. I am seeking to stay connected with you. I want to be someone who's loving you back with my obedience, so you're pleased to manifest yourself to me. And I want to be trusting you, believing in you, that you're going to do all that your word promises to do for me. Have you seen Him? Have you seen Jesus? You know, have you seen His face in all its glory? Have you seen the glory of God revealed in the face of Jesus? You know, the Word of God says this. Psalm 59:2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you. If you've never confessed your sin to Jesus, you'll have no idea what I've been talking about this morning. Your sins have hidden his face from you. Or if you have unconfessed sin, God won't abandon you because he'll never forsake you, but he will turn his face away from you. So you can't experience that peace and that joy. But he wants us. He wants us by faith to not just know about Jesus, but to be able to see him. Sees wisdom, sees long-suffering love, sees faithfulness, to sees kindness. I believe unless you see Jesus, you can't reflect Jesus to people. Because when his face is revealed and shines upon us, we just reflect that to other people. And like the Hebrews who were going through a hard time, some of them weren't doing good, but the ones who were doing good says, we're doing good for one reason. We see Jesus. It's not special people who see Jesus. It's not pastors or anyone else or evangelists. Paul prays for the Ephesians that all the eyes of their understanding, the eyes from here, are opened so in the Spirit they can see the one who died for them, the one who gave all for them. They can actually see how faithful he is. They actually can see how righteous he is. They actually can see how loyal he is. They can see how long-suffering he is, how patient he is. Because when we see that, we can be that to others. So I want you to put your hand on your heart this morning. I actually want to pray that God is going to do something. He's going to do something. He's going to open the eyes of our heart. And maybe if you've been in a place where you say, or you say today, you say, I don't know what this guy's talking about. Well, that's because you have yet to become a Christian or a true Christian. And your sins separate you from a holy God. So he's still veiled to you. And you need to have the veil lifted off your eyes. And that happens when you come to Jesus and say, you're not just the Savior, I'm going to make you my Savior who died for my sin. And you do that today. And as soon as you do that, the veil will be lifted off your eyes of your heart and you will see Jesus. And also, if you have unconfessed sin, if you have unconfessed sin, been living something in secret, you need to confess it to Jesus today. You may even need to confess it to a brother, whatever the Holy Spirit says, so that our sins don't make him turn his face away. But we can live under the smile of heaven. And we can, on an ongoing basis, see Jesus. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to pray. Father God, I thank you that you have a solution to times of difficulty. You have a solution to times of suffering. And the solution is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And Father, you allowed your son Stephen, he saw Jesus at his most desperate hour, and he was able to be like Jesus. Father, you allowed many, many great man of God, to see your face and to change them. And it's not just for the great men. Your word says to us, seek my face. Seek my face. Seek my smile upon your life. Seek Holy Ghost revelation of my Son. And Lord, we're here today. We're not outside because we do want to know your Son, Jesus. We want to see him more. We want to see more dimensions of Jesus. We want to see more depths that are in Jesus. Because of what is coming, we need to see Jesus. So, Father God, where some people here, I just believe, and God says there are some times in the Christian life where instead of being that sunflower, we can experience an eclipse of the sun. You know that when there's an eclipse of the sun, you can't feel the sun, even though it's still there. That's called a wilderness. And God wants to shine his face back upon people who have been in that wilderness. He wants to reconnect you. He wants you to experience his love and his joy and his peace. His approval on the back of your neck. So important when you're in that place, the hard place, to trust him. Trust in his faithfulness. Trust in his goodness. Trust that you will see his promises manifest to you. Because it's by faith that we see. And I pray for everyone's faith that may be ailing here today, Lord, that you'll touch their faith again, that they'll be able to trust you in a greater way. They'll be able to trust you in the trial. And you will come and honor that trust and honor that faith so that they can see you. And all your glory. All your glory. Poor Lord, when it is seeing you that makes us run. It is seeing you that enables us to endure. Open the eyes, the spiritual eyes of every heart here in wisdom and revelation. Allow them to see heaven. Allow them to see the riches of what you've put inside them. Allow them to see where you're taking them, Lord. Give them a glimpse. Allow them to see Jesus this day in all his majesty, in all his goodness, in all his faithfulness, in all his kindness, in all his long suffering. In all his wisdom, let us see Jesus. Let us continually see Jesus, that we may endure to the end. But let me just say, this is what we've got to take away. This is what David did when he's like having the bad time with Absalom. What I was trying to say today is when he says, you know, it's all so bad, the enemy's persecuted my soul, everything. And when he says, so Lord, don't hide your face from me. Cause me to hear your loving kindness. He's actually saying, God, I need manifestation this morning. I need manifestation. I need to see you here today. And I need to hear you. Because there are some times where just a religious devotional isn't going to cut it. We need that manifestation, that encounter where we see him. And David says, I trust in you. That's sometimes you're like that. God, I this is so hard. I need a rhema word. I need to see your face this morning. This is so hard. You know, I feel cut off. I feel distant.
This is such a trial. And God will be pleased to manifest himself to you. Why? David says, for I trust in you. So, Father, I thank you. Your son is alive. He conquered death. And you still shine your face upon us. And as we go, church, I bless you with these words. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May that be your experience each and every day, particularly when you're in a trial. In Jesus' mighty name, and all the people said, amen. 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 God bless you. Have a wonderful week in him.